Evening, everybody. Welcome to the After Show. We are recording here live on Monday, September 28th, after our extended post-Apple September event live special edition break confab. But we are live once again. I am Michael Rose, joined as always by my partner in podcasting crime, Ms. Kelly Guimont. How you doing, Kelly?
I'm good. How are you?
I am excellent. As mentioned on, as I believe mentioned on previous editions of the After Show, our Eastern office will be moving.
It will indeed.
The home office in Brooklyn, New York will be moving to a new location, also within Brooklyn, New York, yet to be determined. But if anybody you know is looking for a house in Brooklyn and would like to buy one that is pre-podcasting approved... has already been, shall we say, broken in, you can let us know. We are putting our house on the market, which has meant a vast womb of cleaning and decluttering and organizing to the point that when I went to hook up my microphone this evening, I could not find a USB mini cable. Which led to some profanity. But other than that, I am well. I am back from Dreamforce. We had a great time out there in San Francisco with 170,000 of our closest friends. It was a blast.
Goodness sakes.
I know. Only saw one listener. Hey, Chris Fuller.
Hi, Chris Fuller.
But that's mostly my fault. So, so Kelly, how's by you?
I'm sorry, I tuned out for a minute because I was gazing lovingly upon my brand new iPhone.
Oh, someone has a brand new iPhone, a 6S.
Not the Plus, because, and I know this is going to sound weird to some of you, I wear women's pants, and I already have a hard time getting the 5S to fit in the pocket comfortably, so the Plus was sort of right out, because this was part of the debate we talked about after the event. I don't have the watch, so I want my phone in my pocket because I still need to pull my phone out of my pocket and have it in my hand 206 times a day, estimated.
Yes.
In order to...
Your mileage may vary.
Yeah, for all the things, because I don't have something on my arm that will fill all those things in for me, so I can just leave it on the charger, in my purse, whatever. I don't really have that option. So far I do not regret it. The thing that I have noticed is so far is that it is not that much different to carry around in my pocket. And also that, I was using this case by Patriot, you know, Patriot Memory.
Mm-hmm.
They have this really awesome system called Fuel Ion. And they are not yet a sponsor.
What? Fuel Ion?
Yes.
Like an ion drive you'd put on the back of a rocket ship?
You'd think that, but sadly no. It's just called Fuel Ion. And the reason that it's awesome is because you put this little case on your phone and it's got this little disc on the back that is magnetic. And then you get a cable that is also a disc and magnetic, much like the Apple Watch charger. And you take that... And it magnets onto the back of the case, and then bam, you have like super fast charging. This is the other thing about it, is that not only will that charge your phone, you don't have to futz with getting the cable in the port properly. I know that one of the things that was nice about Lightning is it doesn't matter which end is up when you put it in your phone, like it did with 30-pin or like with micro USB. And with this cable, it's magnetic, so you just sort of wave it near and it goes... And then it's connected and it starts charging. It charges at a ridiculous rate of speed. And so I can't use that case, obviously. And
yeah, so that's too bad.
They make one for the 6. I just don't have it yet.
Okay.
I did not have the foresight to go, oh, hey, I'm going to get a new phone. I should get this new case. I'm going to. It's in process. That because there is also a car component where you sort of drop your phone near and it will magnet onto the back and charge, which is super duper convenient. And I really like that. And so I have to look into the iPhone 6 stuff. It's like really high on my list of things to do as soon as I am done marveling over 3D Touch and Harry Potter pictures.
So so let's run it down. I mean, the new stuff is the increased processing power.
Yes.
The better camera, the battery life remaining essentially the same. Mm-hmm. And the two big customer facing features that you talked about there are a 3D touch, mm-hmm. which is like, you know, the outbound ESP portion of your program, and then live photos, which is the sort of clairvoyance or time travel portion of your iPhone experience. So let's give me the rundown on those two. I haven't touched one of these devices yet. I don't know what it's like. What do these two features mean to you?
Oh my God, Becky. Okay, so
hey, that's Becky. I'm pretty sure it's Taylor Swift.
No, it's Becky. Which one would you like to start with?
Let's save the magic. Just save the magic for last. Let's save live pictures, live photos for last. Let's focus on 3D touch first.
So 3D touch. Honestly, the thing that is interesting to me about 3D touch is, and I'm going somewhere with this, just stick with me, I promise.
Okay.
Earlier this year, for those of you who have not been playing along extensively at home, Mr. Kelly, my husband, switched machines. He finally, it only took me like 19 years of hassling him about his Windows computer, and he finally has a Mac. And the reason it happened was because his Windows machine got to the point where it was so frustrating that one day he looked at me and said, "Talk to me about your computer." I'm like, "What do you want to know? It's fine. It totally works. It's highly serviceable. It's only a couple of years old. Like, it's going to be a viable Macintosh well into the future."
Absolutely.
And he said, "So what if we bought you a new one?" And I'm like, "I certainly wouldn't complain." And he said, "Well, what if we bought you a new one and I got your old one?" And I said, "I still wouldn't complain. I'm failing to see the problem here. What, I don't understand." So basically the way it broke down was because he can install Windows and do certain things through the magic of virtualization, not boot camp, but like VMware Parallels sorts of solutions. We basically got to the, you know, one will get you two.
Yeah.
Technology purchase, basically, because I got a new computer, which means he got my old computer, which wasn't that old a computer. And now he has a machine that he's much happier with. And I have a machine with Force Touch because it just so happened that the window of time when from the time we started discussing it to the time we pulled the trigger on it was not very long. But in that amount of time, they managed to nudge out the early 2015 update to the MacBook. And it came out just about the same time you could start ordering the new 12-inch MacBook. And I decided I didn't want that. Honestly, because I have so much USB stuff that I use in the world that I just couldn't take, like, I don't, the adapter dance and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, I can't make the leap to USB-C right now. I just can't. Particularly because this is my only computer. So if I had an iMac and I was looking at, you know, swapping out a laptop, I'd be like, yeah, let's go. But in this case, no. So I got a MacBook Pro. I got to upgrade to Retina, which was very exciting because I didn't have a Retina machine until like March or April or whatever it was this year. And I have Force Touch, and Force Touch on the trackpad is amazing. Force Touch on the trackpad is super duper cool. Force Touch on the trackpad is an amazing concept that approximately nobody is taking advantage of. I can't find any, I have yet to find an app that gives me any sort of feedback on the trackpad when I'm using it or anything like that. So it's been sort of weird to have this really awesome feature that I was super pumped to get because I'm like, well, obviously developers are going to start using this for stuff like, you know, in editing photos or editing video. And not that I do a ton of either of those things, but I figured that would be the first place that something with a little bit of feedback might be useful.
You would think.
And I kept waiting and waiting and waiting, and I still haven't seen any of it. And so to see the same concept, which is, for people who don't know about Force Touch on the trackpad, you can click, and it's, compared to what it was in the olden days, it's like a half a click, and then you have a full click. And they are two different interaction methods. You can make different things happen based on how hard you're clicking. So,
which is a lot like life.
this is true. It wasn't until I clicked really hard I was able to order my new phone. So you have to click with feeling.
Why won't this work?
Yeah. And it's because
take
I was
my
not
money.
I was not clicking with feeling. It was basically yes. what was happening there. So having it on the phone and having it immediately usable, you know, this thing where your interaction method changes based on how hard you are clicking on the thing, even though technically you're clicking with your thumb or your finger, is amazing. And the thing about it is that mostly it just brings me back to my computer and it makes me go, why can't I do this stuff on my laptop? Because I have the same sort of two levels of clicking that I could be using. So for an example, obviously all the stock Apple apps do neat stuff with the 3D touch. So if you use the harder touch, the force touch on maps, for example, you get pop-ups. And one of the things that pops up, you get, it's almost like having right click on your phone, because you click on the icon, you tap firmly, and then the pressure that you use dictates what happens. It'll either open or it'll pop up and it'll say, there's four options, and I left my phone in the other room so it wouldn't go off on accident, so I can't tell you what they are. But one of them is directions home, like ooh. home from current location or something like that.
Wherever I happen to be, it's the breadcrumb trail. By the way, remind me later. I want to mention something about breadcrumbs in the context of user interface design, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
So you have that feature. You can press it in a certain way, and it will always take you home.
Yeah. You press and it pops up, and then you can choose which of the things you want to do.
One. Okay.
Yeah, and one
so
of
it's like,
and
it's
I
like
happen
magic
to remember.
Shoes.
Yeah, and one of those things happens to be, you know, ruby slippers. And then with the camera, the cool thing with the camera, you press firmly on the icon and it'll say take a selfie, shoot video, take a picture. And I want to say there's a fourth option, but I don't remember. I just saw those three and I was like, wow, that's amazing. Rather than open the camera and have to turn it around to take a selfie or turn it the other way to take a photo out the rear facing camera, or having to switch back and forth to take video or not. Like, you can do all this stuff. It's amazing. And it's super cool to have this interaction. And with mail, you can peek at a message, which is very cool. If you press on it firmly, it sort of gives you a preview of it. And then if you're like, oh, I don't need that or whatever, you can swipe it away and you can set what happens. Like, if you swipe one direction, you can move it to a folder. And if you swipe the other direction, it'll put it in the trash. So you can glance at stuff and be like, oh, I know this already. Delete. And you never had to actually open the message in order to do that. It's super nifty. Oh. There's a little bit of feedback with it too. Like, when you do it, there's like this tiny little bit of buzz that kind of comes back at you when you do it, which is also, again, super handy. The vibration of the vibration engine, you know, that makes it buzz when you get phone calls and stuff, is also a little different, particularly to me, because I had a 5S. Maybe if I had had a 6, it wouldn't be as dramatic. But to me, it's dramatically different than what I had in the 5S. Mm-hmm. And also, it buzzes like in time to whatever the noise is that it's making. So I have a particular ringtone that plays when Mr. Kelly calls me. And when he calls me, it buzzes sort of, it vibrates like in time with the audio of the ringtone.
Hmm.
Which is also sort of interesting, because I was wondering, like, why does it feel like is my vibration engine flaky? Like, what's going on with it? And no, it's just going with the audio.
With the music.
And so, yeah. And then when I have different ringtones for other people, they buzz differently. And
wow.
So it was really interesting to, because I had it in my hand and Mr. Kelly called me and I'm like, oh, that's what it's doing. And then I started paying attention with other ringtones. And that's exactly what's happening, is it's like vibrating with the audio that it's playing out, which I thought was very cool.
It's a fascinating idea.
Yeah.
That, you know, you take what has been effectively a disconnected, you know, taptic engine and link it to the audio, and suddenly you have the entire dance party experience.
It's really awesome. So that has been really neat. So far, I think this is an iOS 9 feature, because it's with app switching. And so, like, if you're in this particular thing that I think is very handy, I think I could have had on my 5S I just didn't update it to iOS 9. If say you are in Instagram and somebody texts you and you tap on the little banner notification that comes up at the top of your screen and you go reply to that person, then in the top left-hand corner of the screen, it'll say back to Instagram.
Hmm.
And then you can flip.
Yeah, that is an iOS 9 feature.
And so far, that has been unbelievably useful. There are people who have complained to me about the app switching in iOS 9, but so far I really like it. So now talk to me about breadcrumbs. I've talked for a long time, so now it's your turn.
Well, before we get to the live photos, we'll talk about breadcrumbs. But I mean, you're saying that this is changing the way that you interact with your apps, changing the way you interact with the phone.
Absolutely. Like, and you don't have to open mail to send an email.
Now in terms of affordances, I mean, how it is clear, or do you just like try hard pressing on everything to see what happens, or is there some way for you to tell which of these things you can hard press are actually going to do anything?
There's no indicator.
Right. So the only way to find out is to like push things and push them harder until your thumb comes out the back of your phone. I'm like, I guess they didn't implement that.
I guess not. Yeah. One of the things that there are a couple of lists that are being kept. App Shopper has a list that they are keeping of people of apps that mention 3D touch in the What's New section on their updates. And a couple of other places are keeping track of, like, just keeping a list of apps that are 3D touch. Virtually everything from Apple has a really nice 3D touch. And then OmniFocus, of course, is glorious. I don't remember. There are other ones that are notable that they point out in the App Store. There's a few there that talk about 3D touch. And the thing I will tell you, because I had a hard time with it when I first got my phone, the adjustment for how hard you have to touch is in the accessibility preferences. And once I changed it from medium, the default is medium. And once I changed it to light, I was actually able to get things to force touch for me properly. So there's a pro tip for somebody. If you are having a hard time getting Force Touch to work for you reliably, you may just need to adjust it. If you find that launching apps, you're just trying to launch an app and you're getting Force Touch problems, you may want to switch it from switch it up to heavy so that you're not Force Touching things. You're actually just getting them opened. So that would be my pro tip as far as 3D Touch goes. I'm really hoping that as more people see it and discover the potential there, that this will be another one of those awesome iOS things that finally comes to macOS, because there is hardware that can take advantage of it. With my trackpad, I can on my computer, I can do this, and I really want to. So I really want that to happen.
Well, the problem I think that is going to come up, or a problem that's going to come up, is that, of course, those of us who are stuck in the pre-3D touch past with our, you know, until a week ago, perfectly good iPhone 6 Pluses, you're going to start. This is literally so rarely when we talk about muscle memory with user interaction models, do we actually literally mean muscle memory?
Yeah.
But we do. That's what we literally are talking about here. It is the memory in your muscles of what happens when you press things hard.
Yeah.
And my watch is already training me to do this. my trackpad at some point will be training me to do it. And soon my phone, you know, hopefully someday my phone will train me to do it. But there's going to be a long valley of confusion, which I gently refer to as natural scrolling valley.
No
matter what, when you go to someone else's computer and you immediately start to use a trackpad, you have a moment of WTF, why is this machine broken? Oh, right. They do it the heathen way. And it doesn't matter which way they do it. It doesn't matter which way they do it or which way you do it. As long as they're opposite, you're going to have a problem. And now, of course, we all know that natural strolling. As opposed to pretend strolling, faux strolling.
I was going to go with unnatural strolling, which just reminds me of John Cleese and that old Monty Python sketch.
Unnatural strolling, by the way, the new single off the new New Order album. available in Apple Music.
I do want to point out Mike is only half joking. There really is a New Order album, and it is pretty awesome.
That's by the way, folks, a little comedy tip for you there. Comedy is take something that is actually happening and just hyperextend it. Take it past reality. So yes, there is a new New Order album.
And it's pretty good.
I don't believe Unnatural Strolling is one of the singles, but
it's a B-side.
It's a B-side. It's a rarity.
Yes.
In any event.
So it's a good record. Now I'm all distracted. I want to talk about the new New Order album and the new Duran Duran record. And I really do.
So this is the universe's way of telling me go back to 11th grade.
I was just going to say, we're going back in time. We got Bush and Clinton running for president.
There's
a new New Order record. There's a new Duran Duran record. We're calling them records.
It is 1992. It's so strange.
It totally is.
In a weird way. So yes, muscle memory and the fact that this is a new interaction model that some devices have and some don't, which is going to be interesting to see how that evolves. But also that brings up the topic of breadcrumbs. So I was talking to my spouse, to my wife, and I mentioned the UI concept. I was talking about the UI concept of breadcrumbs, and I said something like, well, we need to make sure there are breadcrumbs in this interface so that people can find their way back to the home screen or wherever. And she looked at me and she said, wouldn't that be a bad thing? I said, what do you mean? She said, well, what do you mean when you say breadcrumbs? I said, well, it's a term of art in user interface development and design, which means that it's a way for the user to find their way back through the interface so that you can, if you've drilled down, if you've pushed in a few screens, you can back your way out. And she said, but that completely turns the Hansel and Gretel concept of breadcrumbs on its head, because those don't work. The breadcrumbs in the fairy tale are a bad idea, and certainly the intent is that they can find their way back, but of course, as we know, the birds eat them,
but
and they can't.
They actually don't help them.
They actually don't do that.
Right.
They don't do that at all. And I said, this is fascinating, and I am going to, number one, I said I'm going to mention it to my sister, who is a UX person, and let her know that we're all doing it wrong. but I also thought I would mention it on the show because I think it is interesting, particularly when there are these new ways of interacting with your device, new ways of interacting with your trackpad or your phone. And as we've discussed, there are zero affordances. So there's, unless you know, if you pick up a 6S versus a 6, they physically feel the same. You don't necessarily know the screen is the same.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily know that one of them supports 3D touch and the other one doesn't, and there's no indication on a given app or in a given user interface element that you can peek or push or pop, or you do have those multiple levels of pressure. And so it's an interesting thought experiment to me. It's like, what happens if someone who has an S phone picks up a non-S phone and then is trying to do these things, and their frustration and their sort of grinding of the gears. And of course, if you hand one of these phones to someone who doesn't know that it's enabled, they're going to be, first of all, they're probably not going to use it. And if it does happen by accident, they're going to be completely shocked and befuddled.
That was going to be my first, I actually had a moment when I was considering this as I was playing with it Friday afternoon when my phone showed up. I was playing with 3D Touch. And I started to wonder about it, and I went, at some point, I'm going to have to pick up Mr. Kelly's phone for some reason, and I'm going to, he's going to, where's the map to get out of here or something, and he will want it on his phone for navigation, and I will, force touch it and be like, what's wrong with your phone? Oh, yeah. And then I also had the moment of, the opposite, where he picks up my phone. He has my phone for some reason and pushes on maps, and all of a sudden things are popping up all over the place. And he's like, I don't understand what's happening. Where did all this crap come from? Why is your phone doing this? He's going to think my phone is broken, just like I would think his phone is broken. And there we will sit staring at each other in Natural Scrolling Valley, which, as you remember, was a thing I fought and fought and fought and fought and fought. Which is the whole reason I thought you brought it up, because I was like, no, natural scrolling with a keyboard and a screen is stupid. and I was so angry about it. I had so much angst. And I remember you yourself talking me off the ledge. No, no, no. I think it was on the Tua after show, I think, that you were like, you were like, try it out for 24 hours and just see. And then if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm not wrong. Just give it a shot and remember that you're going to scroll backwards for a couple pixels before you're going the right way again. And just give it a shot and see how you do, and it'll probably be okay. And yeah, it totally is now. But gosh, it was so, so frustrating for a while. Yeah. And then, of course, because like I said, until like April, Mr. Kelly was a Windows user, I'd go to his computer and be like, it's broken. Oh, right. Yeah. In fact, it happened to me yesterday trying to troubleshoot my father-in-law's computer. I'm like, your scrolling is the wrong. Oh, you're running
Natural
Windows
scrolling 7. Scrolling valley.
Yes. I'm like, you're running Windows 7. You scroll the opposite direction like a caveman. Okay.
We are, by the way, folks, I believe we've come up with our first after show swag product, which is t-shirts, amp t-shirts from Natural Scrolling Valley.
Yes.
Those will be up on our Cafe Press store just as soon as one of our listeners comes up with a great design.
I'm totally picturing it already.
It's going to have the, like, the tree letters.
Oh, no, I was thinking, like, the banner, like, you know, your 40s, 50s retro postcard kind of thing.
Ooh, well, greetings from beautiful Natural Scrolling Valley.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's a giant, trackpad in a lake.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, I think we've got something here. I think we can run this up the flagpole and see who scrolls in the wrong direction. So let's before we run out of time, let's talk about the other magical.
Can
my
we?
God, you may. Oh, before you do, I just want to say that at Dreamforce, I was talking to a customer and I did a demo for him and he actually made that sound. It was the best.
What were you showing off? Now
I was showing. We have a brand new. Speaking of user experiences and affordances and breadcrumbs, we have a brand new. Brand new interface and lots of brand new features, but a brand new UI for Sales Cloud on the desktop. So it's called the Lightning Experience. You can find out about it, of course, at salesforce.com. It's gorgeous. It's really, really nice. And one of the features in it is if you're into the CRM thing. So of course you've got a bunch of opportunities, bunch of potential pieces of business, and they're all at a different stage. And instead of just looking at them in a list, you can now switch to this board of cards model. I'm not allowed to say the K word, but board of cards, where each card is an opportunity. And if you wanted to move one from one stage to another, you simply drag it
on
the board. And that was when this customer, who has been around for a while, went, oh.
Yup.
And I stopped. I said, I'm sorry. I are you having a moment? He's like, just do it again. Just drag it again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that was the best part of my day. But yes, live photos. Moving on.
So here's the thing is that, like, the shorthand for this is Harry Potter pictures. This is what I have discovered, because when they said it in the demo, I went, oh my God, it's pictures like Harry Potter. And I'm basically not wrong. And here's what happens. When you take a photo, you hold up your phone and, you know, however you wish to take your photo, you hold up your phone. And when you hit the button to take the picture, then it keeps like the previous second and a half of what was happening before you took the picture. And then it records for a second and a half after you take the picture. So.
And the whole how it does it before thing,
uh-huh.
which for the first day I heard about this, like, how does it know? Yeah. How did it know that I was going to take the picture? Well, it's the camera's running all the time. When the camera app is open,
yes.
It's caching. But never.
Yeah, it starts caching from when you open the app. So it's not like it's always recording, like, your pants pocket 23 hours a day or whatever. Like,
which would be the best Andy Warhol tribute movie. Anywho,
it would be. That's kind of awesome. So, by the way, footnote, just to back up briefly, the thing I have in mind is very easy to find for the t-shirts. If you type greetings from postcard into your favorite search engine, you will find the ones that I'm talking about. They say greetings from, and then it's got this nice swoopy font, and there's like little pictures from different pieces of that location in it. It's pretty awesome. So there you go. Anyway, so Harry Potter pictures. Harry Potter pictures are awesome. They do include audio, so you may not want to talk smack about somebody. And right now, you can play them. I can play it on my phone, and if I message it to an iPhone 6 or an iPhone 5S, it will play. Mm-hmm. So like Mike, I can send you one. The thing that so far you can't do is really share it anywhere else.
So you can't, but I've seen people YouTube it. So how are they doing that?
What they're doing is scooping it off to their computer. And the current live photo format is like a container.
It's a package. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a container. So it contains the still, the JPEG that you actually took, and then like a little movie of the rest of the frames. And it's a low frame rate thing. So that's how people are putting them on YouTube, is they're just scooping that movie out. The other thing that you can do is take that movie and feed it to your favorite GIF animation app, and then you can share an animated GIF on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. Apple has said that they're making this available so that you can share the live photo itself straight to Facebook from your phone or whatever. So they did call out Facebook, so I'm hoping that means it will also come to Instagram. And I've been messaging back and forth with a couple of other people who got a 6S. And when you have a friend that goes to Disneyland and says, "Hey, I got a new phone today," you're like, "Awesome, send me pictures of all the things." And then it's awesome. So so shout out to somebody who probably is not a podcast listener, but David Sparks' wife, Daisy.
Oh.
Got a new phone, and so her and I are buddies, and so she was texting me and she said, "Hey, I got a new phone, check this out, does this play for you?" And I'm like, "Oh, it does, let me take a picture for you so I can send you one and play it." And then I sent her one, and she's like, "Awesome, let's see what it can do." And she sent me all kinds of crazy awesome little 3-second bits of Disneyland, and I sent her 3-second bits of Hale Pele, which is the tiki bar I was at during the time when she said, "Hey, I got a new phone, let's try it out." So for me, it's a really interesting idea. I really like the concept behind it. And of course, if you want to see one in action, you can see the one that Stephen Colbert took when he had Tim Cook on The Late Show. It's part of that interview. You can see the live photo that he actually took earlier that day with a 6S. And it's pretty funny, of course. So it's been really interesting to play with. What I have heard from some people, this may or may not affect you, is that a lot of people have heard that the sensor has improved in the iPhone 6S for the camera, particularly in low light. Now, if you are trying to take live photos in low light, you are not using the sensor to the best of its ability, because it's also trying to shoot video, which works a little differently with the camera. So you will find that your pictures may not come out as well. So if you turn off the live photo option, and it's just another little thing at the top like flash and HDR, you can just tap it on and tap it off. It's pretty easy to tell. You may find that your low light photos get a lot better. They come out a lot higher quality that way. So far, it's just been really awesome. So I have really enjoyed playing with it. Once I can share them with people, and you know, I can take a picture of like, "No, Mom, this is the thing that you need to click on," and then send it to her. That'll be awesome. Like that kind of stuff, I think, is going to be pretty interesting. Like a little thing to help somebody, or a little message. And also, I'm assuming that because you can scoop out the movie, you can also find the individual frame. So if you take a picture and you leave your phone steady you know, hold your phone up for a second before you actually hit the button. Like if you take a group picture, you may be able to find the frame where nobody was blinking, where, you know, sometimes that's the problem that you get with your photos. Or, you know, you took it as somebody was turning their head your direction. And now because you have that second and a half later, you may have the photo where they've finally fully turned toward you so that you actually get the picture that you wanted, that kind of thing. So far I have really enjoyed it, and I've only been able to goof around with it really, and I can't really share them anywhere yet, obviously. So once it becomes easier to share those without 26 steps, it's going to be amazing.
25 steps would be a huge improvement. So
it would.
So you and the 13 million other people who got your phone in the weekend launch, mm-hmm. what is your rating on a scale of 1 to OMG of how much you're enjoying it?
OMG WTF BBQ.
Whoa, okay. You heard it here first.
It's a fundamental, there's been a fundamental interaction shift because of 3D touch. Like, they figured out how to make right click work on my phone. Like, that's what it is.
I'm laughing so hard on the inside, I'm trying not to laugh out actually outside, because you just used to describe this new feature, which you consider so awesome and clearly is incredibly awesome. You reached out for a comparison and you found the least accessible, you know, the feature on your Mac or on your Windows machine with the fewest affordances.
Yes.
Ever.
Absolutely.
Nobody, you go to a novice user and say, well, you know, well, just right click. And they say, what are you talking about? It's even worse on the trackpad. Two mm-hmm. finger click. Why would I do that except by accident?
Yes.
Well, guess what? Here's how you do it. So I think it's magical. I think it's awesome that you just said it's right click for my phone touchscreen, because finally when I say to somebody right click, they say, what do you mean? It's like, you know how you hard press on your phone to get that contextual menu?
Yeah,
that's what you do. If you press the right side of the mouse button, you press with two fingers on your trackpad, that's how it works. And they'll say, oh, well, that makes sense.
That's
god damn it
awesome.
So it's so annoying that it took 20 years.
I know. But
glad you said that.
It's the best way I can describe it, because like you get this menu of stuff that pops up that you get by not interacting with it in the way you normally interact with it. And so that's really like the best description I have for it. And of course I can use that with you because we speak nerd.
Yes. If it wouldn't cause me to have to edit the show, I would be smacking my head against the microphone right now. That's just like, that is amazing that you said that. It's right clicking for my touchscreen. All right. Well,
obviously we have a show title.
We have a show title. I'm writing it down to remember it now.
And here I thought it was going to be unnatural strolling.
Well, it may well be unnatural strolling. Who can say? It probably will be unnatural strolling. See, this is the part where we get into post-production while we're still recording the show. So we should probably
let's hold off on that.
We'll hold off on that.
So for people curious, I got a 64 gig phone. I've never had a 64 gig phone before. I'm kind of excited about it. And I got the, I have the white one. I call it the Hoth phone because they're space gray and they don't have a good, you know, a good cool title for the white one. So I call it the Hoth phone. It has been bigger. Currently like I said, I have not settled on a case. I really want to continue to use the Fuel Ion setup I have with Patriot, which is super duper cool, by the way. And if you are somebody who is interested, you absolutely should investigate their stuff. You can charge your phone really fast. If you have a 5S, like if you've got a year left on a 5S or more or whatever, mm-hmm. If you're just somebody that's happy and doesn't want to upgrade, they also make a desk stand.
Ooh.
That you just magnet into the back of. And you can run a cable out of it in order to make it charge as well. So it'll hold it, and then, you know, you can run the cord so that it actually will charge at the same time. So having that on my desk has been amazing. It's a, like I said, it's a really great system, and it charges ridiculously fast. So if you're like, oh, I have to leave, my phone is low, and you plug it in, and then you go get your, you know, go get your shoes on or whatever, and then you come back, like, you've charged a few percent already. Like, it really is super perky, and I have really enjoyed using it. It's a very cool thing. Right now on my phone, I have a Tech 21 or Tech 23, something like that. It's the case that Mr. Kelly initially bought for his iPhone 6. And I'm using that in the short term. I'm going to try a few cases and see if there's something that I like better. But for right now, that's what I'm using. It's pretty lean and mean, but it's not the niftiest case, and it certainly doesn't meet my aesthetic. So I'm not digging it. Mr. Kelly ultimately decided on the New Guard KX, which you can get over at maxsales.com, OWC. Mm-hmm. They sell those. And it's a great case. So far, he's really liked it. He got it maybe a week or two after he got his phone, and has basically sat there ever since. So it's been almost a year now that he's been using that case and has absolutely no complaints about it. So if you're looking for one, that's a good one. Also, not yet a sponsor. newer tech with the New Guard KX case. So we'll see what I end up with accessory wise, because so far I haven't, I didn't have a 6, and I had no interest in one because I wasn't eligible for so long. So I haven't tried a lot of newer stuff that is like 6 only kinds of things. And as I dig into more apps and stuff, I'm sure I'll find other things I can talk to you guys about. It'll be really, I'm going to be looking forward to it, because so far there's been enough new just in those two things that it's been really interesting to just sort of sit down and launch every app on my phone and go, how does this work? And what about that? And and trying to find the right live photo that I can use for my wallpaper, stuff like that.
I just, like, there's no reason for me to be ridiculously device envious, and yet
you totally are.
I can't help myself. I know better, but that's how that goes. Well, thank you, Kelly, for digging in so deep to your device experience. We are, all of us, in your debt here in Natural Scrolling Valley. Natural Scrolling Valley, where the lodging is just somehow slightly out of whack and the toilet paper rolls the wrong way. So we'll be back in 2 weeks. We are looking forward to, we still have not heard from not yet a sponsor, Makespace. If you do sign up for Makespace, makespace.com, please tell them you heard about them on the after show.
Yes,
dear. And we look forward to your cards and letters. Kelly, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso, V-E-R-S-O. You can also find me over at macobserver.com, writing about the stuff I discover about my phone. And I would like to put out there that if you are someone who also got a 6S and you have discovered something cool, whether it's with the camera or an app that does something cool with 3D touch, let me know about it, because I'm always on the lookout for other stuff that is cool and interesting and does really neat things with the new phone technology that we have. So I'm really interested to find out. So let me know.
And you can find me at Mike T. Rose on the Twitters, which is a great place to find me. I also was recently appeared on. I was recently appeared. Wow.
Do you want to take another crack at that?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm going to let that one just okay. Sit there by itself for a bit. On British Tech Network, The Mac Show. Thanks, you and crew, for having me on. Week before last, which was a blast. So you can find us at aftershowpodcast.com and on Twitter as @_aftershow. We welcome your cards and letters. Kelly, thank you so much.
Of course.
And we will see you all, or hear you all, in a couple weeks. Talk to you soon.